You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Welcome inside Studio 34 in a snowy day here in New York City. Yep. I don't really feel like it's been a snow bomb, but snowing.
Snowing outside. It was snowing sideways when I left from uptown. So when I get back up there, maybe a little bit more snow on the ground. I don't know what time it started because I was sleeping. Because I had to be here this morning to do this.
Same.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know what time the accumulation started, but we'll fight through, we'll power through, get you some good fantasy sports advice and for the NFL playoffs and, you know, talk about whatever, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we can do that. We have the ability
to do that.
Absolutely, which is exciting. Matt Modica, sir,
also
you
are dangerous.
Not for all of us. Matt Modica, you trenched all the way over here through the snow, and you have made it. And how are you, sir?
Snow days are the best days. We drink champagne when we're thirsty, right?
Yeah.
No, it was great. I had to maybe walk. I was inconvenienced. I had to go about 2 blocks to catch my cab.
Oh, boy.
But otherwise, it went off swimmingly. I love the snow, so I'm happy to see it.
I'll be honest with you. I took a subway this way. I took the subway this morning rather than walk. It was just like, ugh, well, you know, I'll take the subway. So I did. It was nice.
Yeah, I didn't walk down Lenox today to get on the subway. I went to the other train. So I walked through St. Nicholas Projects this morning.
Oh, what made you do that?
I figured, I don't know, I just like the A train is just more comfortable. It's more room.
Okay.
So I did that. And I ran into Shorty, the hostess today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So that's wonderful.
I invited, no, let me stop. Teasing.
So on the program today, Emory Hunt will join us in about 20 minutes or so.
Oh, Emory, get up early, huh?
We're gonna go live on YouTube, of course, as we do each and every day. Because the big story from yesterday was Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen both declaring for the draft. And
like back to back.
Like within 5 minutes of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly. And I thought there's nobody better to break this stuff, break the film down. Like, I wanted to do it with you guys, but I was like, Emory just knows more than us.
Yeah.
So I wanted Emory Hunt to do it.
Cool, so he'll be on the program today.
So Emory Hunt will join us, coming up at 7:24. Hour number two, we're going to get into some New Year's resolutions. I thought that was important to get over, some fantasy New Year's resolutions. I wrote a couple down for me. I was hoping you guys did the same. I also, as promised, I actually took down all the stuff that we said before the season. And I don't want to go over all of it because, you know, we said Super Bowl matchups, some of which, like Corey's Falcons-Raiders matchup, probably isn't going to happen. Nor is Scott's Giants-Patriots matchup. Nor is Matt's Seahawks-Patriots matchup. Nor is Greg's Packers-Patriots matchup going to happen. So none of us got the Super Bowl matchup correct. But nevertheless, I did want to talk about the over-unders, which we can go over. So I have all of those here in front of me. We didn't do four of them, but yeah, you know, the other 28 we did. So I wanted to go over that and see how we did. I can also go over the divisions and the wild cards and see like that and see about that. So I think that could be fun, taking a look back at how we did back in early September. So I think that would be fun as well. So we have a fun show for you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it all kicks off right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you here, Roto Experts program, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As I mentioned, Emory Hunt the czar of the fantasy playbook.
Of the playbook.
Well, it's fantasy as well.
Yeah. I'm assuming right Don Burns is back, because that was a great
intro. Don Burns has returned. Yeah, Don Burns
DB
has returned.
Is on the ones and twos.
He's got me on the right mood right now.
That's great. I was enjoying Florio's music, to be perfectly honest with you. But Don Burns has returned from his mini vacation here. So, there is a couple of funny things I read yesterday, and I needed to bring this up at the top of the show, because I thought you, Matt Modica, would go wild, because you've talked a lot this year about your favorite Twitter account, and that is not at Real Donald Trump. That is at Cap Andrew Luck. Like, yep. You love that Twitter account, right? So I found another fun Twitter account that I don't know if that I don't believe you follow. It is at Bortles Facts.
I've seen it. I don't follow it, but there is some funny stuff.
So I was reading about it. As a Bills fan, I wanted to open the show with this and talk to you about some of Bortles facts from the last week or so. From this Twitter account is at Bortles Facts. Blake Bortles made the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers didn't. It's Bortles. So
that is a fact.
It's a Bortles fact. Here we go. At the Browns, Blake Bortles has never gone 0-16.
This is also a fact.
Yeah. Okay. This is at the Titans, but it'll also be at Mark Sanchez. Blake Bortles has never collided with his running back to fumble the ball and give up a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a fact, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go, Matt. This now it starts for real. Blake Bortles didn't need 18 seasons to make the playoffs.
Oh, it's burn right there.
Shots fired.
Blake Bortles has never lost 4 Super Bowls in a row.
Oh! He ain't never been to one either.
Blake Bortles has never lost a playoff game.
Well, you can't lose it if you're not.
I'm just reading the facts for you. Blake Bortles is undefeated in 2018, and he has yet to throw an interception or an incomplete pass.
Yeah, he's perfect.
It's a Bortles fact.
Yeah, it is a fact.
I'm about to go old Gabe Morenci.
Oh God!
Blake Bortles facts.
How was that yesterday?
Super Bowl losses: Bills 4, Bortles 0.
This is true. This is also true.
Facts. That's all I'm saying. Blake Bortles threw for more yards this season than Tyrod Taylor, Nate Peterman, and Jim Kelly did combined this season.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Peterman and Kelly didn't really talk to many football.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
It is a fact, though.
All I'm telling you is facts. Despite having 55 sacks on the season, Jacksonville, the Jaguars' defense, has not sacked Blake Bortles one time.
It's a fact, also.
It's a fact.
They probably sacked him in practice, though.
Does Blake Bortles know that it snowed the other day in Jacksonville and the weather's going to be bad?
In 194 countries, Blake Bortles has never lost a football game.
Wow.
International man of mystery.
There you go. Those are your Blake Bortles facts.
Wow, I think that's awesome. I think that's fun. And, let's see what happens on Sunday. LeSean McCoy is the key to keeping this game competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if he can get out there, if it's not as bad as initially feared, and he's effective. Look, the Bills got a pretty good defense here. I know the run defense took a major hit with the trade of Darius to Jacksonville. But, you know, Fournette's not 100%. I don't think he's 100% at least. You still have Blake Bortles here. Marquise Lee, they're saying, didn't practice, but is probably going to play on Sunday. I do like their receiving core, though. You know, what Cole's been able to do. Didi, as I said, I didn't think he'd be a factor in fantasy, but I thought in the real playoffs, it was where he could shine. So it's going to be interesting. But the Bills have a guy that needs to be in the rookie of the year discussion. I know Lattimore's gotten all the accolades, deservingly so. But Trey White, I believe, is graded higher.
He was.
Maybe even the highest rookie by Pro Football Focus.
He was. I mean, Tre'Davious White was absolutely incredible for the Bills. Unfortunately, I felt like nobody knew his name until Rob Gronkowski took him out.
Yep. No, you're right. And nobody really paid attention to him and stuff. But
he's been fantastic.
I still probably would have liked Pat Mahomes, though.
I know. There's nothing I can do to talk you out of Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm I'm developing a man crush.
So there you go. Blake Bortles against the Bills. I thought those Blake Bortles facts were on point, Corey.
No, I think they were on point, and they were all true, to be honest with you. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes down this weekend. But Shady is a big part of what they have to do to keep that game close. It's going to be very tough, but it's not like the Jacksonville Jaguars are some juggernaut. You feel what I'm saying?
No.
And at Blake Bortles' facts can never be accused of fake news.
Hey, everything I said was real, right? Every detail I gave you, entirely real.
I guess they won't be on that award show Monday afternoon.
Probably not. Probably not. It's all real news. So there you go.
No, shout out to the account. It is funny. I've seen some other stuff on there.
I thought it was amazing. Okay. Next here, what else I want to talk about? We have a couple of coaching changes internally. I spoke about that early this week when it came to some coordinator changes that I found funny. I told you, Corey, that Ben McAdoo and the Denver Broncos quarterback coach, that job was possible for him, right?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like he may even move up in the world.
Oh.
You see, Mike McCarthy, they cleaned house in Green Bay.
Yeah, they did.
No, got rid of the defense coordinator, Dom Capers, after like a billion years.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of Alex Van Pelt, who was a quarterback coach.
Yep.
And then got rid of Edgar Bennett from the offensive coordinator position, a position he's held for the last 3 years. Former running back in Green Bay.
Edgar Bennett probably going to get a job this cycle.
Edgar Bennett is not going to get a job this cycle. He was fired from his position.
Yeah, but he's the guy that people want to interview.
I don't think so.
I'm sure of it.
I haven't seen him linked to a single job.
He may not be linked to jobs, but people are talking about interviewing him.
Oh, I haven't. So all I've heard is that he's been reassigned within the Packers organization, most likely back to the running backs coach where he started.
Well, he get a demotion.
Yes.
But well, then that's not going to look good for him. But
no.
But no, I'm serious. I saw his name. I know what the dude looked like.
You sure you weren't looking at a different guy?
I can pull it up for you.
I'd like to know where. So he's been reassigned. Alex Van Pelt is out. You know what Mike McCarthy wants to do? He wants to get the band back together. Mm. That means bring back Ben McAdoo. Bring back Joe Philbin. Do it all again in Green Bay, baby.
I'll say this. None of this really matters. What just matters is Aaron Rodgers is on the field and healthy.
It's true.
Because he makes Mike McCarthy a good coach.
Sure.
Without Aaron Rodgers, I think he would have been fired a long time ago.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. So I thought that was funny. And listen, Aaron Rodgers can make anyone look good. From McCarthy to McAdoo to Philbin, when there's Aaron Rodgers, everything simply looks better. No doubt about that.
He's got two of those guys' jobs, and he's kept one guy, you know, coaching forever.
Absolutely. So among the changes in Green Bay were the general manager, right? Ted Thompson stepped down, and now is a senior consultant. So they're looking for a new general manager, and they're looking inside their organization to Elliott Wolf and to these other guys that have been candidates for years. They're also looking outside the organization. And one name that I've heard bandied about, and I look to you, Matt Modica, is Doug Whaley, former Bills general manager.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I know he said the one thing he regrets was not getting a franchise quarterback. Part of the problem was when you trade up to get into the first round and you draft E.J. Manuel.
That's probably has to do with it.
Look, there's too much blood on his hands. I wouldn't do it. I don't see why. I was happy when he was relieved of his duties.
Oh, I know you were. You were pumped. And yet Green Bay obviously thinks that he is worth giving a look to.
Is that
a Rooney Rule thing?
Probably so.
Okay.
What about, has Lewis Riddick been attached to this?
Lewis Riddick has not been attached to this particular job. Coaching changes continued. So Chicago had a sterling offense this year. Their offense coordinator, their coach was fired. Their offense coordinator, could have friends in high places, Duell Loggins, he's now the offensive coordinator with Miami Dolphins. Because him and Adam Gase worked together in Chicago before Gase went to Miami. And they're now back together working in Miami together.
I mean, what? The only thing I could say is he really had, outside of Jordan Howard, he had no offensive pieces.
Well, he also like didn't use like Tariq Cohen at all.
Yeah, no, that you know that's a stain. What him and Fox said, the reason why they weren't using him was even more idiotic. But you know, that's the NFL. That this is, you know, major sports. It's just a recycling of crap over and over again. But it is in pretty much any profession. It's who you know, and you know, it's about once you've established yourself that you know you can do it. You know, you get another opportunity, unless you piss people off and you know are really, really bad. I guess
absolutely.
I guess in some cases it doesn't even matter how bad you are.
Sure. It doesn't. As long as you have friends, it makes no difference. Let's also not forget the new quarterback he'll have to work with, Ryan Tannehill, makes his return to Miami in 2018. Adam Gase is excited.
Is he still with that girl?
I believe he is, yes. I have more about Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill and this Dolphins stuff. We'll talk to Don Burns about that in the 8 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, they both declared for the NFL. Emory Hunt talks about it with us next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
YouTube. My name is Greg Sussman. Welcome inside Studio 34. To my right, the fantasy executive. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. And the big story today in the NFL is the declaration by Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen that they have declared for the NFL draft. What does this all mean? Well, we could break it down, but probably not as well as our guy, Emory Hunt, who joins the program right now. What's going on, Emory?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, I talked to you about this like 3 months ago, and now it's finally here. As Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen declare for the NFL draft, and most people believe one of them will be the number one pick. I know you have told me before Lamar Jackson is your guy. I don't know how likely that is. So if you can, Emory, break down the positives and the negatives of Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen.
Well, when you look at Sam Darnold, I think you have to compare his game. It's kind of a mishmash between Jameis Winston and Blake Bortles. You like his athleticism. You love his ability to fight through adversity. But you don't like the turnovers. You don't like the fumbles. You don't like the interceptions. So you have a guy that can play. You just want him to clean up a little bit those mistakes. Now, for Rosen, it's funny because you have a lot of Cleveland Brown fans talking about Rosen. But if you're being completely honest and unbiased, Rosen and DeShone Kizer play the same exact game. The difference is that Kizer is more of an athlete and gives you more of a threat in the running game. But as far as passing is concerned, both Rosen and Kizer are similar players. So I think both guys can play. Again, I would say more of a late first, second round type talent. The only guy I would take in the first is Lamar Jackson because he has that wild card that you see him do perform each and every Saturday with the electric athleticism. But those two guys, I think, could be solid pros. I wouldn't take them in round one.
Yeah, not only are they going to go in round one, they're going to go one and two. And I'm looking at this, the dude from, the USC dude. I've really only seen him play a few times. I ain't never seen the Rosen dude play. And I'm not impressed. You feel what I'm saying? And these two quarterbacks going one and two think that is going to happen. And I think that's going to be a mistake for those franchises.
Yeah, I agree, man. Because when you're taking someone that high, you're expecting them to hit the ground running. There's no, hey, let's sit and develop. Let's try to groom him and bring him along slowly. No, if I take you in the top five, you are supposed to be a legit star. Let's take it back. I know it's a little bit too far for some of our listeners, but let's take it back to 89. When you look at that top five, you had Barry Sanders, you had Troy Aikman, you had Thurman Thomas, you had Deion Sanders. You also had Derek Thomas. Those guys were in the top five. Those are impact players. Now you look at the Hall first round, like, okay, you take a guy early and like, oh, let's bring him along slowly. No, I want these guys to come in right away, start, and be instant impact players. The Bears took Trubisky second, and he didn't start playing until week 10 or so, week 6 or 7, something like that. But, again, these guys are good players, not elite talent, and I wouldn't touch them in the first round, but – the NFL is thirsty for some of these quarterbacks, and you're going to see them probably go high.
Hey, good morning, Emory. The question here for me is the Browns have the first and the fourth pick, and they've traded out and, you know, missed on quarterbacks. We see how good Watson is, Wentz, and all this stuff. Are they going to screw this up again? And where do you think Baker Mayfield goes?
Here's the thing, man. If I'm Cleveland and I just watched a rookie quarterback who just turned 21 years old slowly get better as the season went on and has now NFL game experience, I'm looking at that first and fourth pick. Okay, let's start to build around him. Saquon Barkley is right there. You also look at some of these great wide receivers like Christian Kirk or Cameron Sutton being there at number four. I would probably go that way as opposed to trying to bring in another quarterback because, quite honestly, Kyler is younger than both Rosen and Darnold and also has NFL experience. And we also can't ignore the fact that you have a guy like John Dorsey who came over from Kansas City who also recently said that, hey, we graded Kyler pretty high when we were in Kansas City. We brought him in for a visit, and we ended up going with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. So I don't think they're going to be quickly moving on from Kyler. I don't think they go quarterback early. But as far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, you know, I think his game is good. He's another one of these second-round type talents. He plays a lot like Chase Daniel, and a lot of people may see that as a knock. I don't see it as a knock. Well, remember when Chase Daniel was at Missouri, he was outstanding. Had Missouri in the national championship on, along with a guy that played at Kansas and Tyree. So people knock Chase Daniel because of his height. So hopefully now people are starting to overcome come around to the fact that size is not a steal. And that's why you see Mayfield's height go high. But I would be worried about Mayfield a little bit because if we go back to that playoff game, they didn't trust him with the ball in his hands late in that contest against Georgia, and that speaks volumes. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. If you don't put the ball in his hands to try to win the game, it says a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I thought that was crazy with Baker Mayfield and Lincoln Riley. Like, I love the game that Lincoln Riley called against Georgia, and they get to overtime, touchdown to win it in the first overtime, and they had the most conservative game plan I've seen from Oklahoma all year. They just did not trust their Heisman-winning quarterback, and I totally agree with you, Emery. That spoke volumes about how much they trust Baker Mayfield.
Right, because you look on the other side, Georgia trusted a true freshman to make crucial throws late in that fourth quarter and also into overtime. So it makes you wonder why they wouldn't go to a guy like Baker Mayfield. And I think it's because they don't trust him throwing into tight windows. And you saw that throughout the game. If you were watching the alternate broadcast on ESPN2, where they went from the all-22 version, you saw tight windows that were there to be made. And in the NFL, you have to throw to cover guys a lot. And the guys are not going to be that wide open. And this is the first time they face an NFL-style defense, and you saw what happened. So that right there is a cause for pause for Baker Mayfield. And again, he's a good player. I wouldn't trust him in the first round.
Hey, E, let me ask you about Josh Allen.
I thought you were going to elaborate. Let me ask you
I thought the way you looked at me, I thought his name was mentioned already.
No.
The quarterback, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allen is interesting because it's funny because earlier in the season, it was like he's the clear-cut number one. Even last year, he's the next best, he's the best quarterback prospect in 10 years or something like that, as if Cam Newton doesn't exist, as if Andrew Luck doesn't exist, as if Russell Wilson doesn't exist. You know, so, and his game last year wasn't good at all. He threw a lot of interceptions. He was very streaky. He plays the game a lot like Josh McCown, the bad Josh McCown. You know, where he's going to have maybe four or five throws, you're like, wow, that's impressive. Then he's going to have four or five throws that go the other way. I think Allen, to me, is more of a six or seven round type prospect. I don't know why they, and I feel bad for him because he didn't do anything to warrant this. Guys just kind of sort of threw his name out there and everyone started to one-up one another and make him into this mythical can't-miss first round prospect. But, and it's funny because you saw him against top competition play his worst games the last 2 years against all of the Power 5 teams. You saw him this year against Iowa struggling in the opener. But, yes, he's going to play great against Southeast Brooklyn Community College. And he's going to hang on to that. Oh, he did great. But I think this guy, and it's bad. I feel bad for him because he didn't warrant this. This is not his fault. This is all media created. And, again, he's just not if I were him, I would have stayed in school one more year to put out good tape. He doesn't have good tape right now is almost like a Christian Hackenberg who had better tape than Josh Allen coming out of college.
Matt, I think it has something to do with Carson Wentz, right? Like, you see a guy from a small school, good measurables, and the tape only matters so much. It's copycat league. They look at Carson Wentz, they see Josh Allen, they try to connect those two.
Yeah, and I want to backtrack, Emery, for what you were talking about. In the top five, you want an impact player. And I believe Saquon Barkley is an impact player. But I keep hearing how deep the running back class is. We've seen Sonny Michel, and he's like probably next year's Alan Kamara. Everybody's using that. I know Joe Lisi has stated that. But to me, if you wait and you miss on a talent like this, there's no guarantee you're getting the next guy you want up or the next guy is going to hit. Do you think Barkley should be a top five pick?
Absolutely. Listen, I am team take the best players. And I made this point last year for the Browns, and they were like, oh, the Browns need a franchise quarterback. They got to find a guy that can be there, the face of their franchise, that can lead their team. And everyone talks about how important the quarterback position is in football. Everyone talks about how if you don't have one, you're not going to win. But everyone last year was like, oh, they should take the DN. Like, what are you talking about? Take the guy that handles the ball every play that is the quarterback, and he had a chance to take Deshaun Watson number one. But they took a defensive end. That doesn't affect the game like a quarterback does. So, yeah, if you have the first pick or if you have a top five pick, take the best player. And, yes, Barkley is one of the best, and I get you, and I totally agree with you. Yes, if you don't take Barkley, there's a guy, Rashard Penny, out of San Diego State that's a dog, too. You can take him. However, if I have a chance to take the best player, I'm taking the best player. And I think that's what teams have to start thinking about doing because it's not about, okay, we don't value this piece high. Or let's say the Dallas Cowboys, he was like, oh, you don't take a running back that high. Zeke was the best tailback. Yes, he had a guy in Darren McFadden that ran for 1,000, but he's not Ezekiel Elliott. You take the running back, you take the best player, and that's how your team gets better, by having a team full of good players.
There you go. Emery Hunt, the czar of the playbook. We appreciate the time, man. I feel educated now, and that's a good thing. I appreciate it, Emery.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Good stuff. So there you go. Emery, always on your wavelength, Matt. Like, take the most talented dude. And that's what the Browns should have done last year. He believes the Browns should be doing this year as well.
Yeah, no, but I keep hearing how talented this running back class is. And that's great. But if you say you don't take Barkley and you believe he's the best player, say you don't get Michelle. Somebody trades up to get him. They saw what Kamara did, what Kareem Hunt did. And so you end up with Nick Chubb, who should be good. But what if Nick Chubb's a bust? Or
sure.
he's an all right kind of back?
Sure.
I don't know that, but I still think Dallas made the right move. I know everybody said they should have took Jalen Ramsey. Ezekiel Elliott is a once-in-a-lifetime guy.
I think it's worked out okay. All right, guys. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we will be joined by the king, Scott Engel, the ridiculous sports grid post-up that I'm excited to talk to him about. Stick around. More Roto Experts going your way right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Interestingly enough, there's a crazy article at sportsgrid.com yesterday. I'm really excited to talk to the king about it today. Of course, he joins us at 6 a.m. Eastern at 6 a.m. Eastern every single day, Monday through Friday, for Fantasy Sports Today, and joins us here at 7:40 a.m. Eastern time each and every day. It's my good buddy, the king, Scott Engel. Scott, how are you?
Doing good this morning. It was a busy day on Fantasy Sports Today, and played some of my interview with LaMarcus Aldridge. You can hear all my San Antonio Spurs. Interviews on demand right now. Kawhi Leonard, Aldridge, and more. iTunes, Google Play, and check out the Fantasy Sports Network video page for my full video report on the Spurs.
Yeah, the video, I saw it yesterday. It was fantastic. Nice job by both you and Frankie Stanfel for getting that done. It was wonderful, Scotty. So great job there. And I want to stick to the NBA for our conversation today because an article that's getting a ton of pub from what I've seen. You have people, you know, basically tweet back, are you effing nuts, what the F is wrong with you, is Cam Giangrande's piece on SportsGrid that went up late last night in regards to firing Brad Stevens with Boston.
Yeah, Cam Giangrande actually wrote that piece this week. I cannot take credit for the opinion because I have no feeling about Brad Stevens, whether he should be fired or not. Let me finish.
You have no feeling on a dude that has the best record, that has a team with the best record in the NBA being fired.
Like I was saying, let me finish. Because before you wall me, if I was happy to say either way, I would say, you know, I don't think the guy should be fired because the results are there. That, again, I'm not a passionate Bostonian like Cam Giangrande is, and, you know, he sees things differently than I do. Obviously, he's in the minority from all the Twitter reactions that I've seen. All I'm saying is I don't have a strong feeling about Brad Stevens either way. I don't even think of a coach firing when, you know, they're, what, 31-10 right now, and they just beat Cleveland last night. I think he makes some interesting points, not necessarily that I agree with all of them, that he feels like he's not playing his best players enough.
Well, I think it's that was a very political answer of you, Scotty, that you said, you don't feel strongly one way or another. The dude has
Nothing's
the best record.
Political. It's just how I feel.
The dude has the best record in the NBA. It's an absurd statement. The best record in the NBA without a player that they signed in free agency to be their best player, right? He's 31-10, coming off a win, like you said, beating LeBron last night, and Cam thinks this is the perfect time to fire him and replace him with Larry Bird. Are you kidding me?
I guess some Bostonians just can't deal with the fact that Larry's somewhere else.
Larry's not doing anything, right? He's a consultant with the Pacers right now, which is fine, which is, you know, again, not really doing much at all. But to say you want to fire Brad Stevens, who has resurrected this team, and replace him with Larry Bird, who has won nothing as a head coach. Nothing! It's ridiculous.
The way I read it from Cam is that, you know, that a lot of Celtic fans have a high standard because of their history, and they feel like he's one of those coaches. Yeah, I guess from his perspective, you know, he feels like he's one of those coaches, like, they're going to win a lot of games, but he doesn't feel like they can win a championship with him as the coach.
So, as you said, you pointed out in the article, he doesn't like how the best players, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, are not playing enough minutes, right? They're playing the 44th and 48th most minutes in the league. So you'd rather Brad Stevens in January burn out your best players. Like, LeBron's playing 37 minutes a game. Harden's playing 36. Westbrook's playing 36. And you're upset, despite having the best record in the league, that your guys aren't playing enough minutes. This is called saving your players for June. Like, hello?
Yeah, I guess you and I can both look at it from a perspective of Knicks fans. You know, we would love to be in this sort of position.
No, we're looking at this basketball fans, Scotty.
I'm saying, you know, it's like I can't understand it because as a Knicks fan, I'd love to be in a position where somebody would say, okay, we're going to win 60 games and fire the coach.
Yeah, you know, I think it's absolutely insane. It's insane. Like, it's one of the, you know,
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
It didn't elicit a strong reaction out of me because, you know, I see these kind of pieces and, you know, I try to, you know, see what their perspective is as an editor, you know, on the site of SportsGrid and say, well, you know, that's an interesting take. I don't agree with it necessarily, but I think it's very interesting in a different way to look at it.
He's a top five NBA coach, Brad Stevens. Like, there's no doubt in my mind about that. And you want to fire him for libel?
A lot of people reacted like you did, and I certainly was not surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure not. As I scroll throughout Sports Grid, Scotty, I found another interesting article that I wanted to bring to your attention, and that was written by my guy George Kurtz. And Georgie the curmudgeon listed 8 places that could be interesting where Eli Manning could end up. And I thought that an interesting spot and the number one spot, the number 1 and 2 that George wrote about, not nearly as crazy as Campagiano Grande, the Giants and the Broncos. And it made a lot of sense to me, of course. Giants is where he currently plays. And if basically Eli's willing to train the next quarterback, kind of as Kurt Warner did for him, fine, no problem. He'll still be with the Giants next year. If he doesn't, he wants another chance to start, do it all again. I think Denver's the next most likely spot, and George agrees.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, there's an interesting tweet embedded in there from Chris Carlin of New York Radio, who had Eli on his show earlier this week in the first show that they were replacing Mike Francesa on WFAN. And they had Eli on, and they said, "Will you be willing to mentor a young quarterback?" And Eli didn't give much a reaction. So this starting to be speculation that maybe Eli has played his last game in a Giants uniform, because the Giants are going to draft a quarterback at number 2. And, you know, Eli wants to go somewhere and just be the pure starter and not have to worry about being benched at some point.
Yeah, you know, I get that, and that's completely up to him. I listened to the interview on The Fan as well. Eli has no interest in training anybody else. He has no interest in training anybody else, which is fine.
Not when you can start. It's like, it's one thing if they're bringing in a third or fourth round pick and a guy eventually is going to start over with him. Like, there's not going to be an outcry like if they bench him for one of these first round picks, like for Geno Smith. But still, he doesn't want to deal with that. The guy wants to take a crack at the third ring before he retires. And if you watched him play, a lot of the surroundings fell apart around him. And I believe he can still play. I still think he can make a lot of the throws. And to put him in a situation like Denver or even Arizona, if Larry Fitzgerald comes back and they patch a few holes on defense, or George even mentioned Indianapolis if Andrew Luck is not ready.
Yeah, you know, I saw those spots that George mentions. I don't know how realistic like the Colts are if Andrew Luck's not ready, because he'll never be the man there. He's not going to the frickin' Jets. Like, come on. Let's be realistic here. The other spots.
He's already talked that the Jets might bring McCown back, so.
Well, even so, Eli's not going to play for the Jets. Like, again, realism.
Yeah, I can't see that either.
But the other ones kind of make sense, Scotty. The other ones kind of make sense there. Jacksonville, certainly. I don't hate your Arizona call at all. And then Cleveland, I can't get behind that.
Well, George says Cleveland's very unlikely to happen because, you know, they're not anywhere close to winning. If for some reason they're going to retain Hugh Jackson, possibly.
Yeah, you know, Hugh Jackson, when you win one game in 2 years, you earn an extension.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you win 60 games, you know they call for you to get fired.
Right, and that is literally the difference between Hugh Jackson and Brad Stevens. Not that they call for you to be fired. One dude calls for you to be fired.
One dude who gets published calls for you to be fired.
Exactly. And now here we are sitting here on the radio talking about just that, interestingly enough. So, very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. Did you know, as Darren Revelle just tweeted, I thought you'd find this interesting, Scotty, it was 23 years ago today that Bill Belichick resigned as head coach HC of NYJ.
Yeah, that was certainly a turning point. I remember how short it was. I remember the other short stint. I think Dan Marino at one point was like named general manager of the Dolphins and stepped down like 2 days later.
Well, Dan Marino had some other issues going on, some personal issues there, why he stepped away as general manager of the Dolphins. Bill Belichick just didn't want to coach the Jets, which, of course, is the most Jets thing ever.
Yeah, I'm also seeing some buzz on social media about how he's going to lose a lot of his coaches during this offseason, and maybe Belichick will be done if he wins it again.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've said this before. I think Belichick, more than anything, wants to prove that it's not Brady, it's him, and he wants to win it without Brady. And I don't think he will leave until he has an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's a thing of, like, I almost harken back to Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Like, Jerry wanted to prove he could win without Jimmy. I don't think he ever did. If those two guys, they breed each other with success for each other, why do you have to go on and prove you can do it without the other guy? Just be proud of what you've accomplished together.
And
football's a team sport. Very rarely does anybody really win it on their own. I saw something interesting on social media, though, yesterday, just about how there was only one quarterback whoever won a Super Bowl with a bottom rung running game and defense, and I think that was Eli.
Oh, I know you like to say that Jerry never won it without Jimmy Johnson, but Barry Switzer did win a championship, and that counts.
Yeah, with a team that was built by Jimmy Johnson.
But then you could say Dan Quinn went to the Super Bowl with a team built by Mike Smith. Same thing. 2 years later.
1 year later, that's a franchise that was built by Jimmy. Jerry was smart enough to hire him, but that team never wins nothing without Jimmy Johnson.
Scotty, we'll do it all again tomorrow. Talk some playoff football with you. When we come back, we'll talk more some baseball with Matt. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You heard the commercial just now. Big Game Tribute Challenge, what are we playing it? Next time, you have an opportunity to win tickets to the Super Bowl tomorrow during the 8 a.m. hour here of Roto Experts. We're going to try to give away tickets to the Super Bowl. Big Game Tribute Challenge returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. hour here on the Roto Experts program. That's hour number two, wherever you're listening, 8 a.m. Eastern hour. Roto Experts, the Big Game Tribute Challenge, sponsored by DKMS, of course. We spoke to Lucas, who won the DKMS contest over at Fantasy Draft. Fantastic job by Lucas Howard winning that. He's headed to Minnesota for the big game. We'll see if we can send somebody else tomorrow on the program. Matt, it's a few minutes. I read a very interesting note yesterday. Was Tyson Ross's contract and just how far the mighty has fallen. Right, he was a favorite sleeper for the last couple of years. Had some injury issues, battled back. I had him on my DL here. Comes back with Texas, doesn't really do anything noteworthy, and then signs for basically nothing to return to San Diego. Whole bunch of incentives if he start. Really, just if he starts games, he doesn't have to perform well in them. He just has to make the starts. He can make up to like $4.5 million, $5 million or so. But for fantasy purposes, what does that mean? Can you get yourself back in on the Ross family? I know you have an affinity for your boy Joe Ross. Can you get yourself back in on Tyson?
Look, the only way you're drafting Tyson Ross right now is in a draft and hold where you're drafting him very late. As spring training comes and you get to see him, look, as you stated, he had a nice 3-year run from like 2013 to 2015, was injured in 2016. Last season in his comeback was just about 50 innings or so. He had a higher walk percentage than strikeout percentage. So that is, as I like to say, no bueno.
Not great.
Yeah. But he's going back to San Diego, another year removed from injury. I know I like to say put him on the watch list or something. This is a guy, you're not drafting in a regular, say, 23-round draft or anything like that. He does not belong on any team in that format. But, he's going to be an arm that you're going to want to monitor, because this is a guy that's a two-pitch pitcher. He's a fastball slider guy, relies heavily on the slider. When he's been successful, he's thrown it like over 40% of the time. Last season when he came back, he took a decrease on that, you know, maybe just coming back from injury. So he only threw like a third of the time. The fastball lost about almost a mile on it. So, you know, you can look at that and say, this is a guy building himself back from injury. He took his lumps last season. Back with the Padres, so that's where he did have his success. If he gets that slider working again, he's a possible in-season pickup kind of guy.
Okay.
Or if he has a really, really good spring.
Fair enough. And I think that makes sense. You know, right now you're not doing anything. It's kind of a watch and hold. A guy that's had some success, that if he can stay healthy, you know, find his stuff again, maybe somebody you pick up early on in the season if he does have some success in that San Diego rotation.
Yeah, no, I think I have him on one of my, I got him really late in one of my draft and holds. You know, just a flyer at that point and see what happens.
Another guy that I think is really interesting that I just read about this morning, actually, at RotoWorld, was about David Dahl, a dude that was going like the fourth, fifth, sixth round last year. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Gets injured in spring training, was supposed to be ready for the season. He wasn't, and didn't play last season. Played 17 minor league games, threw them out. He wasn't healthy. He says he's 100% healthy now. This is a guy, I believe he's only 23 years old still, that was supposed to be a top prospect for Colorado, that was supposed to really be a dynamic player for the Rockies, didn't get a chance to play last year. Now, with Carlos Gonzalez, a free agent, there may be an opportunity for him to get some playing time with Colorado, maybe free up some space for him. Are you going back to the David Dahl well?
Yeah, I mean, this year, why not? He's going so late, the high teens. I think I got him the 20th round in one of my drafts. So everybody was falling all over themselves last season to draft this kid, and he went very high. He has the potential to at least hit 15 homers, 15 stolen bases.
Right.
Which not many players do.
Bat 300, and, right?
Yeah, with the solid average. Going to be 24 in April? Why not?
Yeah, why not? I agree. This is a guy that I don't want to forget. I usually make a list of just guys I want to remember. David Dahl is going to be the starter of that list just to keep an eye on him during spring training. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Dolphins and what's going on there. Corey Parson, Matt Mojica, Greg Sussman, Roto Experts, hour number two comes your way next.